Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. What's up, Brian?
Nothing. Yes, stuff. Me. Us.
That's so riveting. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on the show, Jeff.
It's good to have both of you. And it's really good to have both of you. I enjoy it when we get to do shows together.
Same.
Yeah. Now, as long as we're here, I thought that maybe we could talk a little bit about the amicus brief that was filed on behalf of Apple. And since I have played a lawyer on stage, I feel totally comfortable explaining what an amicus brief is. It's also known as a friend of the court brief. And what it is a filing that an individual or a group of people or companies will get together and file, offering up their arguments for why a court should look at a case in a specific way. Mm. So in this case, what we're looking at is the ebook price fixing trial, where Apple was charged with being the ringleader in a conspiracy to artificially raise the price of books.
Sure.
And Apple chose to appeal that. And so this appeal process has been going on since 2010. And at each step along the way, Apple has failed to get Judge Denise Coates' ruling overturned. So Apple is at the end of the line for the whole legal process. They have filed I just forgot the proper term. Anyhow, they filed to request that the Supreme Court review the case and offer their own ruling. And so the Supreme Court has not decided whether or not they will hear the case. And that's their prerogative, that the Supreme Right. Court gets to choose what cases they actually see. And so while the Supreme Court is deciding what they're going to do, a bunch of authors and book sellers got together and filed this amicus brief saying, hey, you need to overturn this ruling because the real problem is that Amazon has been abusing antitrust or abusing their position as a monopoly leader in the book market, and instead you are punishing Apple for just trying to get into the space. And there you go. That's the nutshell version of what's happening right now. And I'm curious what you guys think.
I'm a legal geek in that I've never played a lawyer on stage, but I want to. I don't think I ever will because I do different things on stage. But
it's the thought that counts.
It is. So this is interesting. So like Apple couldn't file this amicus brief because they've already argued to the court how they should be looking at this. The amicus brief needs to come from a presumably neutral, and neutral is perhaps the wrong word, but a party that is not directly a third party that's not right. directly related to either of the yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I like this. Like, hey, we the people, we would like to speak and perhaps guide the courts. That's cool.
Yeah, it happens all the time and whatnot, but it also happened in the original case. There were lots of amicus briefs that were filed, almost all of which were on Apple's behalf.
Interesting.
And this is one of the things when, you know, we followed this case very closely from the get-go. And in the march up to the original trial, like, you know, all the evidence seemed to point out that Apple wasn't guilty. The testimony seemed to actually make Apple's case for it. It seemed like Amazon's own, the DOJ's, sorry, how was that for 40 slip? The DOJ's own evidence seemed to not support their case, and yet Apple was convicted. And that included lots of amicus briefs. So there was one of the big ones was, of course, you know, this is certainly just a guy's opinion, but one of the big ones was one that laid out how antitrust allows for horizontal pricing agreements in the face of a monopoly. Actually, and it was, you know, very, very well laid out, at least to my non-legal mind argument, and that didn't seem to change anything either. Yeah.
Interesting.
On the whole amicus brief thing from the original trial, my favorite amicus brief was the one filed by an artist who drew a cartoon. It was a whole, it was like a mini book explaining the whole antitrust thing to the court. And it was beautiful both from an intellectual standpoint and from an artistic standpoint. But still, Apple ended up getting convicted. Now, as Apple's gone through the appeal process and has failed to get Judge Coates' ruling overturned, that hasn't been a complete fail for Apple, because the appeals courts have said that there were issues with the case, and they scaled back some of the things that were involved with the case, and one of them being the court appointed monitor that Judge Coates put into Apple, and the appeals courts greatly restricted what he was able to do, and when Apple lost these appeals, that doesn't necessarily mean that the court felt that Judge Coates' ruling was wrong. What it means is that the case that Apple presented at appeal was not adequately presented in a way that would sway the court.
And that's what an appeal has to be. It can't just be, I think they're wrong. It has to be, I think they were wrong because.
Right.
And because is the only thing that the appeals court is supposed to look at that point.
Right. Yeah. And my guess is, based on the way the appeals played out, that the courts were very, very strict in maintaining those blinders, so that they were looking at only the pieces that they were supposed to.
Which is what they're supposed to do. An appeal is not a retrial. It's a, hey, this wasn't looked at correctly, or we didn't have this information. I mean, that, you know, there can be all sorts of different things. But it's very specific, and like you said, blinders is a great analogy there. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. The DOJ, in my opinion, under Eric Holder, who is no longer what's the new Attorney General's name?
It's not Eric Holder.
It's not.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Fortunately, we have a little technology. Loretta Lynch is the current Attorney General, and we don't have any kind of record with her yet, because she's relatively new. But under Eric Holder, the DOJ, in my opinion, erred towards obsessing over price being the only thing to matter. The price being the only measure of competition.
Mm. And I think you're right.
With antitrust in particular. And the courts aren't necessarily bound by that. And it's going to be interesting, because we have a split Supreme Court. We've got four quote unquote conservative judges, and we've got four quote unquote liberal judges, and then we've got Anthony Kennedy. Is it Anthony Kennedy? We have Judge Kennedy in the middle, who tends to be the deciding vote a lot. And it's going to be interesting to see how they decide this when it's a business issue, and especially when the fact that it's in essence, this is a business versus business suit, even though it's the DOJ versus Apple, because Amazon is the big, massive, unnamed gorilla that looms over the entire thing.
Well, Amazon was the professional advisor that the DOJ turned to for their case.
It's just weird.
Yeah. And we don't know whether or not the Supreme Court is going to hear this case. I'm putting the odds right now at 50-50.
I think it'll be a little bit higher, to be honest.
It's okay. We'll see what happens. Now, the other thing I'm finding interesting about this case is that the Department of Justice, which gets to reply to the amicus brief if they so choose, has not done so. Mm. And they have until January 4th to file – a reply to the brief. I think that will be very telling. If they do, then that tells me the new boss of the DOJ is really interested in pursuing the same philosophy that her predecessor had. And if there is no reply to the amicus brief filed, that to me says there's a new philosophy in the way cases like this should be handled by the DOJ.
I would expect that not to be the case. Attorneys general for new administrations will often approach things very differently, approach existing cases differently, to wit, Microsoft antitrust.
There was a complete reversal.
The Clinton administration won, the DOJ under the Clinton administration won a huge victory over Microsoft, and then the Bush administration punted on the remedies process of that trial, which happened under their watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be shocked if Loretta Lynch were to were to change direction substantially on what Eric Holder did.
Oh, it would be a very interesting change. It doesn't mean it can't happen. So I'm watching closely to see if the DOJ does file a response to this brief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyhow, where we sit right now is Apple is waiting to hear if the Supreme Court will even hear the case. And if they do, that doesn't guarantee that they will reverse Judge Coates' ruling. But, you know, Apple's been insisting through this entire process that there was no conspiracy, that they didn't engage in antitrust activities, and that they should not have been the focus of an antitrust investigation, and that instead Amazon should have been.
Apple's never said that. Everybody else has, but Apple hasn't. Not the last bit.
The last bit, okay, they didn't say it in so many words, but they have strongly implied that.
It'll be interesting.
Yes, it will. And I do love that in this amicus brief from book publishers and authors, that they come right out and say that the DOJ should be focusing on Amazon instead. Because
this is from Barnes & Noble and authors, right? Not publishers?
Barnes & Noble, booksellers,
yeah,
and authors.
And authors, okay. But not publishers. You said publishers just a second ago.
Oh, no. I misspoke.
No
publishers in this.
Mostly pedantic.
Mostly pedantic. And this time, Brian, it paid off. Yeah. Hey, another thing that I wanted to take a look at today is the new website that Apple has online. And this is the open source website for Swift. It's live and it's out there now. And for people that have a long enough memory, you'll recall that at Worldwide Developers Conference this year, Apple said that they were taking their Swift development environment for apps open source. And then after that, we just really haven't seen much about that. But now there's a website up and the components that Apple did release as open source are there. So you can go and get at them right now.
This is cool. It's a big deal for a lot of reasons. Swift is a new language, right? And this instantly adds some credibility to it, right? I don't think this would happen, but it's a valid concern that one would say, hey, you know, Apple could abandon this. Well, at this point now, that's okay because they've preemptively put it out there for anyone to do anything they want with it, including extend the language, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to abandon it. I think it's actually a very good platform for them to be on. But it does create that security blanket, if you will, that now the community can participate in maintaining this going forward. But more likely, it's that Apple will continue to use it and the community can participate in enhancing it going forward.
Yes.
And this is very similar to what has happened with Safari and WebKit, right? WebKit is the core engine of Safari and actually is the name of a browser that runs it. that is an open source browser. Apple created that, and I don't want to say they turned it over to the community. They very much still participate in it, but they opened it up to the community. Mm-hmm. And people can make extensions and modifications to WebKit. Apple doesn't incorporate all of those back into Safari, but they incorporate lots of them. They still make their decisions. But now with this open platform, especially for a web browser, it's very nice to have at least the core of it exposed so that you can find and identify any security issues and all of that. It's very transparent. But it also allows this constant refinement, which is a good thing, and it helps everybody. So I see the same thing going for Swift. I think it's a fantastic thing. And it's nice that, they said they were doing this a few months ago, and now the site's here. So they've delivered on their promise. I think it's a great thing.
I think it's a great thing, too. And like you said, Dave, I think this is going to do a lot to, foster faith in the platform. I know I'm paraphrasing what you said.
No, that's right. Yeah, it legitimizes it, all of that. Yep, absolutely. I think it's great. I look forward to seeing what actually comes of this. I mean, it's certainly not the first time that a language is open sourced, right?
Right.
But looking at the path that Safari and WebKit took, I'm very curious to see if there's any parallels here. I mean, obviously there's parallels in the way that they've been created by Apple and handed the keys, or at least a set of keys, to the community. But it's a different thing, right? A compiler is very, very different from a web browser. So I'm curious to see how this all goes.
Apple's done a very good job of, let me rephrase that. Apple has revved Swift relatively swiftly. So
yeah.
Pardon that pun. So it's I wonder if this will truly result in a lot of change to Swift.
Yeah, well, I mean, just like WebKit, I think, and I don't know this for sure, but based on what I've seen at sessions at WWDC and that sort of thing, I get the feeling that the majority of the people committing changes to the open source WebKit repositories are Apple employees. And perhaps only Apple employees, but I don't know that. So I'm going to retract that statement. But lots of them are Apple employees. And I think we'll see the same with Swift. But it's open, it's out there, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And,
we've seen things like Chrome on the Mac, right, uses WebKit at its core.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So, but again, I don't expect to see... They're now this makes it much easier for Swift to be incorporated into other development environments, right? Right now, Xcode, that's it. And it doesn't have to be that way. If somebody else wants to adopt Swift and bake it into their development environment, they're certainly welcome to do that.
You know, it's kind of funny because that hadn't occurred to me until you said it.
Me neither.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, if there's a company out there that feels that they could make a better development environment for apps than Apple has with Xcode.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily... You could program Objective-C in a lot of different development environments, but you can't submit apps to the App Store from those.
Right.
Oh, right. That's a good point.
So this just broadens it potentially broadens the market for people using Swift, but if you want to develop apps, it's Xcode.
It's still Xcode. Yep, that's a good point.
If you want to develop apps for Apple's platform.
For Apple, right.
Apple's distribution system.
Right. But if you wanted to develop your own IDE that uses Swift, and then you are making apps that you sell independently of the App Store, you could still do that.
Yeah, for the Mac. That's right. Yeah. For iOS, there's no there's no way to quote unquote sideload. So you would have to do it.
Here's Microsoft's big chance.
Hey, it's anybody's big chance.
Yeah.
Referring to the shareholder meeting.
Right.
And what's his name?
Steve Ballmer.
Steve Ballmer, right. Steve Ballmer saying that the – anyway, we'll write about that separately. It's way too deep to go into. My apologies.
So basically what you're doing is offering our listeners a teaser about a story that's soon to come from Mac Observer.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, then on that exciting note, let's wrap up. Brian, great to have you on the show today.
Always good, man. Thanks for having us.
It's loads of fun. Dave, thank you for being here too.
Thanks for having us. It's fun. I like it.
Yep, so do I. I come back every single day because I like it so much. And listeners, thank you for coming back every single day. It's great to have you here listening and giving feedback. And if you have anything you want to share with me, you can do that on Twitter. That would be TMO Daily. You can send me emails at observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments on all the show notes because I'm checking all those places. I want to hear what you have to say. So thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.